Yeah, hey, I preached last Sunday. I preached in the very first church we had. Let me tell you what it's like. It's pews. And the pews go back as far as you can see. And I swore I was looking at another town back there. And everybody sat in the back six or seven pews. I swear I took a shower. I really do. But that's just the way it was. And man, it was like, I thought I was preaching and I cracked one of my off-the-cuff jokes and they all went, bang. And I went, oh my gosh, I miss you guys. I'm glad to be back here, be able to share with you some thoughts. Laugh at all the stuff I say today, okay? So, Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Paul is closing out this amazing letter that many believe it was a traveling letter. And as he was closing it out, he began to reflect upon what he needed. And so he's closing this, and next week we'll look at how to say goodbye. But here's what he's saying to them as he asks for them some prayer requests. I entitled this message, Fighting the Battle on Our Knees. And pray, it says in verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Man, look at all, always. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. There's a term that I heard yesterday in the news that I've heard as I was watching a World War II movie the other day. It was in France, the same exact word. It's called the resistance. You ever hear that word? The resistance. It's a movement that describes situations in which oppressed people rise up against their oppressors. I'm not sure that... We've never been in a situation where we've been that oppressed as a people. Maybe in some racial issues there have been, but generally as Americans, we have not been oppressed. Resistance fighters say this: I'm not going to stand idly by and allow this evil to continue. I choose to resist the wrongs, whether I live or die in resisting my oppressor. I will no longer live as I have been. That was spoken by French, Germans, people in Holland during World War II. It's being spoken now in people that we don't even know about that are in Muslim countries where ISIS and other groups are trying to... There's a quiet resistance going on. Many are losing their lives because of that resistance. Now, we don't have that resistance in our country, and it's hard for us to understand, but there is a resistance that we need to have in our own personal lives. James put it this way. James said, Peter said this. Peter said, resist the devil, be firm in your faith. James said, submit therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It is clear that both Peter and James, Paul and Paul for that matter, considered walking in faith, being a Christian, doing things that God wants to do as a resistance. Not against the political structures of the day, not against laws that are in our land, although that may be part of it, but the resistance was against the evil one who wants to take us over and get us to be defeated in our lives. That we are to stand strong and be resistant to that. Now, I know some of us are having tremendous struggles in our lives right now. And if we could just pause for testimonies, I'm sure, and I could call on four or five of you, you could talk about the difficulties you're going through. And they're real. I mean, they are real things, aren't they? And yet God wants us to resist the evil one, the devil, from having that take us over. And so today we want to talk about how we resist. What is the resistant movement within the Christian church? And that's why I entitled this, Fighting Our Battles on Our Knees. If you could close that door. Yeah, thank you. Paul wrote two prayers in this book. We looked at him pretty closely. The first chapter he had a prayer of thanks, and the second or third chapter near the end he had another prayer where he was pretty specific but pretty general. And now he gets even more specific about what prayer is like. He closes the letter with some very pointed words about prayer. So let's pray, and then let's see what he has to say to us. Father, teach us about prayer today. Teach me about prayer today, so that I may understand and live it in my life. And I pray that for us as individuals in this church and as a church, that we would catch fire with our prayer lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is prayer? Well, prayer is designed to be encouraging. Turn to somebody and shake their hand. Say, good to see you. Yeah. Yeah. That's an encouragement, isn't it? Good to see. It was so fun to see old friends the last couple weekends. One at a funeral, which is kind of sad because we miss our Uncle Vic. He was Cindy's favorite, by far my favorite of her uncles. Then do a wedding last week and saw all sorts of old friends and how encouraging that was. It's important that we feel encouragement. In fact, many of you came forward today to get blessed with some oil because you wanted to be encouraged in your faith walk. Now, you came maybe with some really deep needs, and I didn't know specifically what those needs were, and I don't need to. I'm interested, of course. But what's more important is that I can touch you and say, Jesus, bless this person. And you feel encouraged because of that. So we pray. And we pray for health, for finances, for those who are grieving. We have requests. We have intercessions. I have people call me. I have people drop into my office off the street. And they'll say, this is what they say. I came here to ask for some prayer. Because I figure you have extra pull with the big guy upstairs. And my answer was, I don't have any more pull than you do. That he's calling each of us on the same level. We all go through the same cross. I have nothing special to offer in that department. I don't have the power to change God's mind. But I do have the power to take you to prayer and pray with you. So there's a way that we can use prayer, and there's a way we can misuse prayer. Here are some common ways that we misuse prayers and praying. We will say, let's pray about this thing, but we don't do anything about it. So we'll pray and pray, but never do anything about it. That's the case for some people that have had difficulties for years and years and years, or have carried bitterness for years and years and years. I got a letter from a lady 27 years ago, something I said hurt her feelings. She finally, 27 years later, still living in that pain. I just got the letter this week. And she's, I've been praying about this, but she's never done anything about it. So I can pray about it, stuff, but it doesn't, if God's calling me to do something about it, I can pray for the poor and needy, but if we're not giving them food, it's kind of empty. So sometimes I can just do stuff, pray instead of doing. Sometimes I can use prayer as a last resort thing. Well, God, this has really gotten big. Bail me out this time, type of thing. Or I can misuse prayer by demanding from God, God, you promised to do this. You do this right now for me. In the name of Jesus. And nothing happens. But so we want to really kind of twist God's arm and get him to do what I want him to do. God's a little bit too big for me to twist his arm. Yeah. Sometimes we pray as a means of gossip. Dear Lord, be with da 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 because you know that da 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 and you know that they're going through da 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 and we're doing it in a group and we go in Jesus' name, amen. And the people go, what's wrong with so and so? And you just successfully put a spiritual thing around prayer and use it as a gossip chain. Or we can use prayer to show off. With all these big words and this prayer voice. I often wonder why preachers got their prayer voice. Let's pray. It just doesn't work for me. So we can use that as well. But Paul wants us to be effective in our prayers. God wants us to be effective in our prayers. And so as we've seen up front with Paul, we see now again some of his desires in prayer. He said, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. If you have your Bibles, pop back a chapter to Ephesians 5:18. Well, I think, anyway, and I was reading another guy a few weeks ago that thought the same thing, that all of Ephesians chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, and the beginning of 5 flow into 5:18, and then out of it's like a funnel. It goes into Ephesians 5:18 then comes out Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18 then is kind of the pinnacle of the book. It's kind of the theme verse. And it says in Ephesians 5:18, you see it there? I'm going to give it to you how I memorize it. Do not be drunk with wine, because that's a waste of time. Rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you may have, do not be drunk with wine, because that dissipates. Rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the whole focus of Paul's writing was, if you're going to have any success in your Christian walk at all, it's not going to be in the words you say. It's not even going to be in the deeds that you do. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I should get about 110 amens. Amen? Amen? Amen. Have you ever said amen before? Say it again. Amen. It should be, that's the source I gain. That it's not anything else but that. So Paul said to his people, pray in the Spirit. Prayer for others is only effective when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Prayer, as one man said, is going to God on His terms. That kind of, when I read that, I went, oh my gosh, you know. Prayer is going to God on whose terms? His terms. When I'm filled with the Spirit, I am thinking His thoughts. So I go to Him. I like what it says in Romans 8:26 and following. And I really like how Eugene Peterson put it in the Message. So just kind of close your eyes or put your notes down and just listen to Romans 8:26 and 27. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired of waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does, and He knows our prayers, and He is in us. Making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. And so when I don't know what to say, and I have a sigh, you ever feel that way? Oh God! And it's like there's nothing else I can do. You know, I had a friend who loved the Lord, but he was dying, and he was moaning one day, and I thought he was in pain, and he just was going. His name was Ted. That was his real name. His name was Ted, and I said, Ted, what's the deal? And he goes, I don't know how to pray. I'll never forget that because it was a Sunday morning and I went to see him before church started. I went about 7 o'clock or 6:30 in the morning and he was waiting for his brother to come because he wanted to get things together with his brother. They had some conflict and he was on a ventilator. And I just don't know how to pray. He was just groaning. Sighs. Groanings. It's only effective when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Prayer for others is not meant to be a temporary thing as well. Look at this verse again. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he just simply says, pray without ceasing. Now, some of us have had this kind of hacking cough. I'm sorry, Jane. Some of us have kind of had this hacking cough that we just can't get rid of. You ever had one of those? That's what this verse literally says. Pray as if you have a hacking cough. So every time you get everybody, do it together now. 1, 2, 3, tickle. Okay, got it. Now, everybody, you got it all out of your system? Okay, so, and you know what it's like to have that tickle? That's what prayer is supposed to be like, that tickle. That never-ending tickle to pray. So prayer is not meant to be a temporary thing. I'll pray for you and then I'll forget about it. Pray without ceasing and pray all the time in all sorts of, with all sorts of prayers. And you know why I like that? Because it doesn't tell me exactly what the prayer is. It's all kinds of prayers. Praises, tears, God, I don't understand. God knows your heart. Just go to Him with that kind of prayer. All kinds of prayers. So prayer is designed to be all-encompassing. Prayer is also designed to make us more alert. Everybody stretch. Yeah, get alert, slap your face. You ever been driving? And you, boy, this happened to me one day. I was driving, and it's long distance. I was coming back from Sacramento, and it was like one of those, you're mesmerized, and all of a sudden you got to realize, either I got to pull off, turn the air on, turn the music up, and I just started doing one of these things. Jesus was in Gethsemane praying with his disciples, and he went away to pray by himself. Remember this story? And he came back, and they were all asleep. And Jesus said, "What's the problem, you guys?" And they said, "Well, you know, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Jesus said, you know, his advice to them was, watch and pray. He didn't say, well, go get a Coke, get some coffee around the corner, stand up and stretch. He said, watch and pray. Pretty simple. What does watch mean? Eyes wide open. So it's kind of interesting. He didn't say, close your eyes and pray. He said, watch and pray. I don't know about you, but this concept of praying without ceasing is kind of disheartening to me. Because I can't always do it. In fact, it's really frustrating to me. Because I wish I could grab onto what that means. Because my mind, I don't know about your mind, but my mind wanders. Anybody else's mind? And it's just pray for someone all the time. It's like, pray without ceasing? Yeah. You don't get it. This is my favorite song. I got to listen to this song. It's a praise song. No, pray without ceasing. You don't get it. I got to drive. Well, you know, I understand, but you know, it goes back to being filled with the Holy Spirit is what it goes back to. Pray. Pray for them. Paul said this, with this in mind, with what in mind? Always praying on all occasions. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. There's that word all again, always. And always keep on praying for how? For who? All the saints. Paul got hung up on words sometimes. All, always, all. In other words, the idea is when? How often? How often? Yeah. Think about this a second. It isn't meant for Sunday morning when we come to church or right before the meal or if there's a crisis, I better pray. There's something about when I'm walking in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit and God is in control that my first place to go is prayer. So praying for others is all inclusive. I think of somebody, I think of them. And I just don't think of one specific thing. It's inclusive. We pray for the saints all the time, for all the saints, for all their issues. Well, Bob, I don't know what's going on all the time with my friends, my brothers and sisters in Africa. You're right. So pray, God. You know, maybe you need to do some research and look some stuff up about them. Or maybe you need to contact a missionary, you know, or something. But pray for all the saints all the time. You go, how do I pray for people? How many of you have a church phone book? Anybody have a church phone? I need one. Yeah? Do you ever go through that list and pray for those people? That's kind of an interesting concept, isn't it? That's what I do Sunday mornings. That's what I do during the week. I kind of look through, and then all of a sudden I realize I haven't talked to that person in a while. I give them a call, write them a letter. Pray for all the saints all the time. When I first got into youth ministry, way back in the 1920s, way back then, I was in Sacramento with the church, and there were two churches in Lodi. One had split off the other, kind of. First Baptist Lodi, Temple Baptist Lodi. And when that little split occurred, both churches grew. And Lodi isn't that big, by the way. So if you're wondering, if they were, one was in the center of town, the other one was outside of town. But that's a matter of blocks, not a matter of miles. And so you have this, both churches are, but neither of those churches would ever do anything together. They would never do joint ministries of any kind. Their youth would purposely go to different weeks of camp. And there was just tension. Every time we would go down there for meetings, there was this tension. If we met at Temple, the Lodi First Baptist people would never go over. If we met at First Baptist and Lodi, the Temple people never come over. And so the youth pastors, I was kind of a rookie, and there was two other rookies. We kind of got together and said, what is the deal here? And so we started doing some investigating, and nobody really knew what the deal was. And so we decided to do something really revolutionary. We brought our youth down from Sacramento, and from Elk Grove, and from Lodi Temple, and Lodi First, and the youth got together, and you know what we did? We didn't play games, we prayed. Didn't know what else to do, so we just prayed. And we're praying in the basement of First Baptist Church. And lo and behold, the pastor didn't come down and heard us praying and was so convicted he began to cry. And now those churches do things together. There was a sense of all the time praying for all the saints. It was inclusive. It didn't change because we didn't like each other. We prayed for each other. If I were to sit down with the two churches, the church that we serve split way after I was there, and one is really booming and one is really struggling, and if they'd say, what should we do? I would sit down and say, let's join together, all those that left the church and all those still there, let's get together and let's pray. But you know what I hear? I'm never going to set foot in that church again. When I see him on the street, I'll say hi to him. Well, how is God going to bless your life if you have that kind of junk going on? Praying for others also requires some preparation. You've got to get ready to do it. With this in mind, in other words, he's not going on autopilot. He's thinking about it. With all this in mind, now I want you to pray for all the saints on all occasions. And so there has to be some preparation. Whether it's like we do quite often on Sunday morning, that little acronym for ACTS, adore, confess, thanks, and supplicate, ACTS. Whether we do that and we get ready for prayer, or whether we have a prayer list, or I talked to one guy, well, he has so many he's praying for that he has kind of a rotating list. I thought that was kind of cool. Monday is this list, and Tuesday is this list, and if other crises come up, I go back. But whatever, however you do it, it has to have some preparation to it. It just can't be random. In my life, the most effective times of prayer is when I've sat down and prepared and done prayer and said, this is how I'm going to do it, and thought it through. It just can't be random. One of the things that I want to just encourage you in, just a simple little thing. It's three S's, okay? The three S's of prayer. You ready? So write these down someplace because they're not in your notes. Settle down, stop, and stay. Settle down. What does that mean? Yeah, get yourself quiet. We have a dog that's really hyper, and so she runs around. I go, Lacey, settle. Last night she was barking at something. I went outside, Lacey, settle. I literally put my hand on her head and say, settle, just settle. I don't go, settle! Settle. And she just all of a sudden just calmed down and sat. Well, settle down. Get yourself set. Get the distractions away. Then stop. Stop the electronics. Bum, ba-dum, bum. But you understand, my prayer list is on my phone. Put it on a piece of paper. Stop the noise. Get into a quiet place. And then stay. Don't let your mind wander. I struggle with that one. Because I start praying and then my mind starts going over here. Well, I wonder if the Cussers are going to win this fall. And I wonder if the guy hit a home run. And I wonder if we paid this bill. And, oh, God, that's why I'm praying right here. No. I wonder what's for dinner. And I pray. And be settle down, stop, and stay. Yeah, stay focused. Yeah, how do you do that? I don't know. I haven't figured that one out yet. But it's good advice anyway. Settle, stop, and stay. Prayer is designed to make us more alert. Remember Jesus' words. I told them to you a little earlier when his disciples fell asleep. It was just three little words. Watch and pray. Prayer is designed to make us more alert. And then prayer is designed to specifically lift up all who are involved in ministering to others. I want to read you a couple portions of Scripture. I'm going to read the one that's in this passage. I'm going to read another one from Colossians. I find it interesting And when Paul asked for prayer, outside of his requests he had to Timothy specifically about bringing certain things to him, but when he wrote to his parishioners, wherever they were, Ephesus or Colossians, or he was pretty specific and had very little to do with what he was going through in his life. So prayer, Paul could have said, pray for my finances because I'm getting tired of being bivocational. I'm tired of working all day and having to teach all night. So pray that God would somehow, I win the lottery or something. Pray that I get, he didn't ask for that. Now, Paul also had health issues. And so he could have said, pray for my health that I'll feel better and God will take care of this thing that I have, and whatever it was, his eyes or whatever was going on. Pray, but he never asked for that. He could have. Paul always was in fear of being in jail. In fact, many of the letters he wrote was in jail, so he had a lot of anxiety. So he could pray that I'm not so anxious about what's going on. Pray that I'll be released from prison. He didn't ask for that. I would ask for that. But here's what Paul asked for. Listen, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, do you guys ever open your mouths to talk? Yeah, yeah. Whenever I open my mouth, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, let's put that to some application here. We know if Paul wasn't in prison, he probably was making tents. So during the day, he was a tent maker. That's a term they use today for bivocational pastors. He's a tent maker. In fact, there's an organization called the Tent Makers. It's for pastors that are bivocational. And so Paul was making tents or doing whatever he had to do to make ends meet in his life. And he said, pray whenever I open my mouth when I'm making tents. Whenever I go to the synagogue, whenever I'm teaching someplace, even when I'm in prison, pray that when I open my mouth, the words will be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. By the way, I just want to say this. Just because people don't understand the gospel doesn't mean we don't share the gospel. The gospel is a mystery. Why would God send his only son to die on the cross for me? Why would God even care? It's a mystery to me. And yet, we have the privilege of telling about that mystery, how much God loves us and cares for us, because we have the mystery revealed to us in the Scriptures. But he wanted the mystery of the gospel to be known, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. If you look over in Colossians chapter 4, here's what he asked for prayer. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. This is Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, for me too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may claim it clearly as I should. Does that not sound the same thing? What was Paul's biggest concern? That he would be able to clearly communicate the love of Jesus to people. Not just do something that was nice for them, not just be a good guy. He wanted to be able to say, here's why I'm doing this for you. Here's how God changed my life, because I'm not just a good guy. So, specific request for all people who are involved in ministry, desire this. I desire this. If you're doing a ministry to kids, youth, if you are doing food pantry, you desire this prayer quote. Pray that the appropriate words will be used when conveying the love of Jesus to others. Pretty easy to get mad at people when you're giving free stuff out and they ask for something else. You know, like the food pantry. Pretty easy. Pray to God that he give you the proper words to talk to them. So the focus won't be the food you're giving or the service you're giving, but will be on their needs. Did you hear that? Yeah. The idea of body language and tone and words, they matter. If I say this to people, yeah, we have food for you. We really care about you. And, you know, here's some food for you. What would that do? But if we go, hey, welcome, we're glad you're here.
Come, we love you guys. Jesus loves you. We love you. Here's some food for you. Yeah, I'm sorry we don't have that, but we do have this. I actually said that to somebody yesterday. So, I don't think we have anything like that, but I do have this. Well, okay, that'll do. And then I was able to pull out of the fridge of water and go, oh, that's just what I needed, a water. Oh, and the day was made. If I were to say, we don't have it, this is what we have. You go out there and get your stuff. Wow, that's really a good testimony. Yeah. That doesn't. So pray that the appropriate words will be said. And also pray that there would be confidence in the message of Jesus. More than ever before, you and I need to know that the message of Jesus is real and that I have to have confidence when I share it. There are movements in the church today that say we don't share the gospel. We just do good deeds for people. And if they ask us, great. If they don't, great. But that's not what the gospel is, not just handing people food or doing something, not painting their doors or fixing. It is really doing both. Say, I'm coming in the name of Jesus, and oh, by the way, I love you and Jesus loves you. That may take a whole lot of different forms. I was talking to a bunch of kids who are just in Anaheim or in Orange, 600 kids from all over the United States and Canada coming in to do these things, these good deeds. And I was talking to the kids from my hometown, Turtle Lake. Now, here's something significant. Turtle Lake has 500 people in it. They send 19 kids. The church maybe has 85 people in it. They send 19 kids, and the kids raise their money, and they each had to raise like $4,000 to make it out here and back. Their plane tickets, Disneyland, all that sort of stuff. They just worked their little heinies off to get here. And I said, well, what happened? And he said, and the one lady said, the one I was talking to, a 16-year-old guy, goes, well, we were making this fence for this lady in this trailer home, and she couldn't figure out why we were doing it. She knew that we were doing it, but she couldn't figure out why we were doing it. And then she began, after the third day we were there, she began to bring us some water. And then they said, this was Thursday night, so the fourth day they said, today she came out and told us her story. And we then could share Jesus with her. So it's true that sometimes I just have to do the stuff, but I always want to be ready to share the good news when I have a chance. I don't want to just say, oh, you need Jesus in your heart and pray that someone will fix your fence. I'll fix your fence, and while we're doing this, it'll open up the door of relationship and I'll be able to share with you Jesus Christ. Because it's a both-and deal, isn't it? It's a both-and deal. So everybody that's in ministry says, pray that I will have the words and that I'll have the confidence. I won't shrink back and be embarrassed of the story. I'm doing this because of Jesus. And so the other day, Wednesday, I just shared, I didn't even share a story with them from the Bible. I just said, I want you to understand that we love you, that Jesus loves you. One guy over here, first time here on Wednesday, began to cry. And you know, it wasn't anything special. I wasn't like this big speaker. I was in shorts, and I just said that, but the tone, God gave me the proper tone, he gave me the proper words, and that melted that guy's heart. I had nothing to do with it. It was Jesus. So here we are. What do we pray for? Well, take a look at this passage. It may revolutionize how you pray. And join me as we close in prayer. I think we have a closing song after this, right? Okay. Sorry, I've been gone 2 weeks and I just get messed up. I'm really sorry. And when I'm not singing up in the worship team, I just get lost sometimes. Yeah. Father, we thank you that you do want to change us. And you do that in so many ways, and one of those ways is in our prayer life. So change how we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.